Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, hey, what's going on? It's Monday, October 14th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And week six is almost done, man. I don't know about you, but kind of feels a little bit normal. Unlike some of the craziness. Now, I know there's still injuries going down. Not everything is perfect out there in fantasy land. But honestly, if this game was easy, would we keep playing it? All right, let's get into a recap of everything that went down. I'm going to start with Jacksonville and Chicago. Hey, Caleb Williams continues to trend up through four passing scores in this one. And I am not chasing Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen produced like a tight end in this one. He had five catches. Cool. 41 yards and two touchdowns. I feel like a lot of people are going to chase that. I am not chasing it. But, you know, hey, if you started it, all good. I'm not worried about DJ Moore. They didn't have to use him that much in this game. So whatever, better days will be ahead. And how about DeAndre Swift figuring it out over the last 3 weeks here? Another 100 scrimmage yard game, 17 for 91 as a runner with the touchdown and 4 for 28. I mean, he's holding off Roschon Johnson, which is good. I think a great example of why people should just hold their horses a little bit. I think that a lot of people think that if you're more active, you're a better fantasy player. So a whole bunch of people freaked out when it was like, hey, Roschon's going to get more involved. Maybe that just meant Roschon's more involved than Khalil Herbert. I don't know. Or maybe it was that he was going to be more involved than Swift, but Swift just said, screw you, I'm holding this job. Either way, it's working for Swift. Cole Kmet, merry-go-round, all that. Moving to the other side. Honestly, Trevor Lawrence wasn't bad. Another two passing scores for him. They both went to Gabe Davis, so if somehow you had Gabe Davis this week, good on you. You won the lottery, because who knows when it's going to happen again. Really, the key here was Evan Ingram was heavily involved, 10 for 102 in his return game here. He wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, but still, he's going to be involved going forward, so he'll be in that tight end one conversation. Not every week is going to be like this for Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas. And yes, I was about to call him Trevor. Travis Etienne, not his brother, Trevor. Travis Etienne injured in this one and is going to be week to week. So Tank Bigsby, he's still out there in enough leagues that he may still be out there in one of your leagues. I don't know, but he'll be the lead guy going forward there for this squad, at least in the short term. Moving on to Washington and Baltimore, great game. The score makes it look a lot closer than what it really was, 30-23. Derrick Henry continues to roll here, 132 yards and two scores on 24 carries. 132 yards also for Zay Flowers. He was looking good, and you knew it was going to happen. Mark Andrews touchdown. A lot of the same here for the Ravens. I don't know about Andrews. He's got to string together some more games. He's still not running as many routes as likely, but it was close. He had 16, likely had 17. Either way, got to string some together here. No Brian Robinson, so the run game was hurting for Washington, but Jaden Daniels was fine. I mean, hey, he was up against a very good defense here. Still got Terry McLaurin going, so you have to like that if you were a McLaurin manager. 6 for 53 and two scores, both the touchdowns to McLaurin. Arizona, Green Bay. Let me start on the Arizona side. Kyler Murray is a prime example of a player who's not playing as poorly as fantasy managers think he is. And I'll get to Bijan Robinson in a little bit. He's not as bad as you think he is. Yeah, sure, the fantasy numbers aren't following up on, you know, what your expectations were, but he's not playing as poorly as you think. This was a relatively clean game. It just wasn't a good fantasy game, and those two aren't exactly the same thing all the time. If you have Murray and you're thinking, well, should I drop him or whatnot, I'm going to keep going back to the same point. I'm going to try and drive this point home. Your problem isn't that you have Murray. It's that you drafted a quarterback in the middle rounds. Now, if you picked up Murray, whatever, then fine. You can move on from him because he's a streamer for you anyway. But for a lot of people out there, this problem was created in your fantasy draft. And this is an annual thing where middle round quarterbacks end up disappointing. Now, it doesn't mean they're just because they go in the middle rounds, they're going to disappoint, but it happens every stinking year. So just be careful. Marvin Harrison Jr. banged up with a concussion here. We'll see his status as we move forward through the week. Over the other side, four touchdowns for Love, whatever. Romeo Doubs getting on the board here. He did actually finally talk about it, so I'll mention it here. he has some mental health issues, and he was navigating those, and that was what resulted in him getting upset last week and ultimately the team suspension, or, well, 2 weeks ago, I should say, really, technically speaking, and then the team suspension. But he's back in the mix, and this was a good way to get him, you know, back and integrated. Christian Watson back on the field, scored a touchdown, a longer one. Dontayvion Wicks hurt in this game, probably safe to drop him. He's being called week to week. Jaden Reed, even in a game where he doesn't do that much, 6 for 28, he scores a touchdown, so he's just fine. And don't worry about Tucker Kraft. They didn't have to throw the ball much. This was a blowout. Better days will be ahead. Houston, New England, Joe Mixon's back, baby. Oh, man, 13 for 102 and a score, and then 2 for 30 in a score. My only concern with him is if he gets hurt again, but otherwise he's phenomenal. Damian Pierce getting on the board here. He's a handcuff to Mixon, and then Diggs and Dell both scoring here. Dalton Schultz only 4 for 27, but guess what? 8 targets. So I think he's going to be fine as long as Nico is out, and that's going to be at least 3 more games. Over to the other side. Honestly, Drake May was, given the circumstances, very good. 243, 3 passing scores in his first game. Compare that to the first game for like Caleb, and it was better. Now, granted, it wasn't his first appearance this season, but it was his first start. Really had something going with Pop Douglas, 6 for 92 and a score. Tossed one to Kayshon Booty, why not? And Hunter Henry as well. Drake May trending up. He's going to give, I think, now plenty of opportunity to play. He's very viable in Superflex. Probably the most entertaining game of the week, Tampa and New Orleans. This one, 51 to 27. Baker tossed 4 passing scores, but he did a little bit of Jameis Winston in this one in that he had 3 interceptions as well, but he's fine. 2 go to Chris Godwin, 1 goes to Sean Tucker, and whoa, what the heck, Sean Tucker? 14 for 136 and a score on the ground, 3 for 56 and a score as a pass catcher. Add that up, that's 192 scrimmage yards. Now, Bucky Irving was fine. If you use Bucky Irving, nothing wrong with 81 and a score and then 2 for 24. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we have heard now from the team, from Todd Bowles, that this is going to be a three-headed monster because Sean Tucker played well enough. So that is not what you wanted to see if you had Rashad White missing a game. Sean Tucker, I mean, hey, he popped in the preseason. Now here he's popping. Pretty good for him. But that's going to be frustrating. Over to the other side. Oh, and Mike Evans is a little dinged up. We'll have to keep an eye on him. Over to the other side, Spencer Rattler did about as good as I think he could have done here. 243 and a score. That score, of course, went to Bub Means. I have Bub Means ranked 132nd among wideouts, and he had 8 targets in this one because Chris Olave goes out early. 5 for 45 in the touchdown for Means. Rattler and him have to have been working together, like with the second team offense, and that might have been what this is part of. But still, if Olave misses time, all of a sudden Means is going to get a lot of work in deep leagues. That's worth noting. Alvin Kamara, 40 yards and a touchdown. All right, whatever. But then he had 7.4 as a pass catcher, 5 for 24. Got to like that. We're going to see Rattler at least another couple games here for New Orleans. Moving on to a snooze fest, Philly and Cleveland. On the Cleveland side, really nothing. I mean, nothing. The only thing of note here, Jerome Ford was hurt, and it happened, as the script writers like to do, at the perfect time for Nick Chubb to come back this week. All right, maybe that'll help. Who knows? They're not going away from Deshaun Watson, though. The team is abundantly clear of that. To the other side, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back, both scoring touchdowns. Now, Brown was much more heavily involved. 9 targets, caught 6 for 116. Smith had the longer touchdown, only caught 3 for 64, though, but that's a wide receiver 2 week, which is fine. Dallas Goedert banged up. Grant Calcaterra in, and honestly, like a little bit of a mini breakout game for Calcaterra. Like, he didn't score a touchdown or anything, but 4 for 67 is pretty good for a tight end. So that's at least noteworthy if Goddard misses time. Barkley came back to earth here. It's not always going to be like this, so I'm not overly concerned about Saquon. Players are going to have down games here and there, and that doesn't mean we have to go, oh, what's going on with this player, right? Like, let's look to the larger body of work. Barkley's been fine. Indianapolis, Tennessee, yo, bait and switch. We thought it was going to be Richardson, and we thought Pittman was not going to play, and it ended up Pittman did play, and it was Joe Flacco. Flacco tossed 2 touchdowns. He did it the right way for fantasy. He threw 1 to Josh Downs and 1 to Michael Pittman. Downs was more heavily involved, but as I said, Pittman playing through injury here. I think based on the practice reports from last week, based on how close Richardson was to playing, that he should play this week. Only two teams on bye this week. We do have a double Monday night game again, because why not? And we do also have a London game, but Chicago and Dallas are on bye this week. So I expect Richardson back. Hopefully Jonathan Taylor will be back, because Trey Sermon went 18 for 29. Now the Titans are good on defense, but Trey Sermon is not cut out for a lead role. On the other side, Tony Pollard, 17 for 93 and a touchdown. Thank you. Tajay Spears banged up in this one, being called week to week. And Calvin Ridley had 8 targets. He caught 0 of them, but only one of them was really catchable. And that was a mistake on his part, and that's fine. But 7 targets were completely worthless. So really, he only saw 1 good target. Not good. Will Levis was pretty bad in this one. You know, like you asked, like compared to these rookies, Will Levis or Bo Nix? Bo Nix. You know, Will Levis or 1 game of Drake May, 1 game of Drake May. Like, I don't care. I don't want Will Levis. Will Levis or Joe Flacco? I want Joe Flacco. Will Levis or Andy Dalton? I think I want Andy Dalton. Yikes. All right, Chargers, Broncos. This one was a little weird because obviously a little scary moment for Jim Harbaugh, who had, I guess he went into AFib on the sideline, which I'd never seen anything like that before. Fortunately, it sounds like he is okay. But Justin Herbert, 237. I mean, trending in the right direction. And that was with Quentin Johnston leaving and, you know, really having to rely on like Simi Fehoko. Ladd McConkey led the way with 8 targets. Okay. Kimani Vidal. Okay, we've all been saying it wrong, apparently. It is not Vidal as in Sassoon. It is Vidal. He caught a touchdown. He also ran 4 times for 11 yards. He is clearly the number 2. Gus Edwards is on IR. J.K. Dobbins had 25 carries. Like, J.K. Dobbins was the clear lead back here, 27 touches overall. So Vidal is just a implied value handcuff guy. Or not even really a hand. I don't think Dobbins is really handcuff worthy, but he's like an implied value guy. To the other side, Bo Nix is not bad, man. 216 and 2, 61 yards on the ground. I had some guy on Twitter like, oh, yeah, it all happened in the fourth quarter. I don't care when it happens. Like, it happened. I'm not going to discount it because it happened in the fourth quarter. Courtland Sutton. Oh, I wish I knew how to quit you, Courtland Sutton. 4 for 53 and a touchdown.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I mean, come on. It's not that bad, okay? Like, I know he's not a wide receiver too, but it's not that bad. I think he's a decent guy to have on benches right now, especially as the team looks better and better. Troy Franklin got in the end zone as well. Devon Vele, though, was really the other target in the offense other than Sutton. The backfield is a mess. Here's what I do know. Javonte Williams is still clearly ahead. They're not doing anything on the ground, though. Audric Esme barely played. And then Jaleel McLaughlin isn't doing much. I don't think he's worth a roster spot, I'll be honest with you. Moving on, Pittsburgh and Vegas. Don't create conspiracy theories if you don't need them. And nobody really needs them. But I had a few people like, oh, I'm nervous about Justin Fields getting benched. Like, dude, he wasn't going to get benched. He may get replaced the next week. But it's not going to happen this upcoming week. I mean, Russell Wilson isn't taking over after Fields helped his team to a big victory. He didn't have to do that much, but he did a good bit with his legs. 11 for 59 and 2 with his legs. Barely did anything as a passer. And just know that if you have George Pickens. Like, Pickens had 8 targets. Cut 3 for 53. Better days will be ahead. I think, you know, whether it's Fields or Wilson, I think Wilson would be better for Pickens, but it's fine. I'm still holding there. Najee Harris, uncharacteristic, 2 runs of 25 plus yards. He doesn't do that, but he did it here. He had a long touchdown run, 14 for 106 and a score. That might be the high watermark for him. In redraft, you could potentially try and sell high on him. On the other side, the only thing really worth noting is Brock Bowers, and he's stinking awesome. He is so much fun to watch. It sucks that he's on this team. There is nobody there. 9 for 71 for him. Trey Tucker with Jacoby Myers out. He was out there on 40 routes. He saw 2 targets, caught 0. I suspect when I watch this game closer, because I still have that on my list for today to check the shadow situations. I suspect Joey Porter. I did see some of it when I was watching it yesterday, but I suspect Joey Porter is largely the reason why. More on that later in the week. Moving on to the next game, Atlanta, Carolina. Have I mentioned how much I love the NFC South? It's so awesome. I love it, dude. And by the way, Bijan Robinson, So I had said last week, hey, he played well. The fantasy numbers just weren't there. Well, look, when a guy plays well, eventually the fantasy numbers show up. 15 for 95 and two scores for him. Caught three balls for 10 yards. I'll take the extra four PPR points all day long. Now, some people are going to be concerned that Tyler Allgeier had 18 for 105 and a score. It's not like Allgeier is doing this every single week. And yes, they are going to use him because guess what? If you have Tyler Allgeier as your number two, what would you do as an offensive coordinator? These guys don't give a crap about fantasy, nor should they. And he's, you know, Zach Robinson is going to use him. That's what they do. But Bijan is still the lead. 56% snap share, 41% for Tyler Allgeier. So not worried there. Kirk came back to earth in this one. All right, whatever. He didn't have to do much, though. And he still did enough to get London in the end zone. 6 for 74 and a touchdown for London after, you know, the big week last week. Another rock-solid performance. And hey, Kyle Pitts only caught three balls, but guess what? For 70 yards, I'll take that all day long. I'll take 10 PPR points out of Kyle Pitts. And Mooney predictably came back to earth. He's a wide receiver three. They're going to be up and down. Deontay Johnson gets in the end zone on the other side. So does Xavier Leggett. So Johnson, though, was the better fantasy play, obviously. 6 for 78 and a score. He continues to roll. As long as Andy Dalton's there, I think they're going to be fine. Dalton, he isn't great, right? But he's doing more than what Bryce Young would be doing. Chuba Hubbard, over 90 rushing yards yet again, 18 for 92. Caught five balls for 11 yards. Not a great fantasy week, but definitely not bad either. And honestly, if he keeps playing like this, we're not going to see Jonathan Brooks anytime soon. No word of him even practicing this week. Who knows? Detroit and Dallas. Okay, well, bad time to be a Cowboys fan, huh? I mean, the only thing I can say good on the Cowboys side is CeeDee Lamb saw 14 targets and he caught 7 for 89. That's like a floor type game for him. Not worried there. I have no idea why Ezekiel Elliott played more snaps than Rico Dowdle. I think Mike McCarthy's, you know, he's got to be on the hot seat. I don't know if they move on from him in season, but man, not a good start to the year for them. Over to the other side. I mean, Monty, two touchdowns, ho-hum, 8 straight games with a touchdown. Amon-Ra, in a game where they didn't really need much, still got a touchdown, 4 for 37. J-Mo, 3 for 76 in a score. Laporta, who only ran 15 routes, but caught one for 52 in a touchdown, so hopefully he gets going a little bit more here. And Jared Goff, 3-15 and 3. He's been basically perfect over the last 2 weeks, pretty much. I mean, he didn't complete every pass in this one, but he's been about as good as they can be. Just classic, like, high-floor QB1 play for fantasy purposes. And I'm not worried about Jahmyr Gibbs. All right, last game on the list here, Cincinnati and the G-men, Joe Burrow with the wheels. He hit, like, what was it, almost 20 miles an hour on that run? I mean, come on, Joe Burrow. 4 for 52 in the score, 208. Honestly, the Giants' defense played better than I thought they were going to. So credit where credit's due, but is it just me or is Chase Brown just better than Zach Moss? I mean, Zach Moss is a little dinged up, I'll give you that, but he wasn't dinged up over the last month in every single game, and every single game, Chase Brown kind of looks a little bit better. Scored a touchdown, 53 yards on the ground, and caught two balls for 11 yards. Maybe that flips. Hopefully he didn't get rid of Chase Brown a few weeks ago when everybody wanted to get rid of him. On the other side, Tyrone Tracy looks pretty stinking good, doesn't he? Looks pretty stinking good. Looks better to me than Devin Singletary. And I actually gave credit where Singletary, you know, was due in the beginning of the season. But 17 for 50, but he scored a touchdown. And 6 for 57 as a pass catcher. He tied Darius Slayton for the most receiving yards in this game for the Giants. Not bad. Tyrone Tracy may not necessarily keep the lead job when Singletary's back, but I don't think it's going to be long before he gets the lead job. Daniel Jones had an atrocious interception in this game, by the way. Hopefully Neighbors will be back here this week for that divisional game against the Philadelphia Eagles. We shall see. All right, so tomorrow I'll be back. We'll break down the latest news. We'll talk the top 10 as well in waivers and give you a few thoughts on this Monday night game, which should be a wild one, Bills and Jets. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com, a promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And, well, at Jeff Radcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Radcliffe on Instagram. I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.